Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
Now, some armchair adventure showing in IMAX theaters around the nation is a new 3D movie, Wild Ocean.
There is a place where men still shares the ocean, where the food chain is still unbroken. This is where Africa meets the sea.
The KwaZulu-Natal coastline, stretching from the east coast of South Africa to Mozambique, is the scene of an annual migration spectacle. Billions of sardines driven towards the coast by warm ocean currents swarm in the sea as sharks, seabirds, and dolphins wait. Wild Ocean was co-directed by Steve McNicholas. You might know the English dancer choreographer for his percussion theater troupe Stomp. McNicholas traveled to South Africa to film another kind of choreography, an epic struggle for survival.
I was stunned. It was 2005, July 2005, which is winter down there. And I was in a helicopter. We were scouting along the coast, so just taking photographs of the coast. And then I just saw this huge, it honestly looked like an oil slick. I really thought there'd been some kind of spillage because it actually just passed. There was a wreck of a tanker along the coast. But it was fish. It was this huge shoal of sardines that was really just a fraction of the shoal that was travelling along that coastline. And it was just swept into a little beach area. And they were literally coming up onto the sand on the beach. We landed the helicopter and went down and looked. And there's just this whole frenzy of people taking the sardines out of the water. The women going in with skirts and scooping sardines out in their skirts. People running in with buckets, taking fish out with buckets. And while all this is happening, there was probably about 20 sharks moving in from the deeper water. So these sardines were truly doomed because on the one hand, you got the people on the beach who were going for them, you got sharks in the water going for them, and you got the gannets were coming in from above.
I got to tell you, those gannets, those birds, they look like they're dive bombing. They're kind of dropping out of the sky and going, boom, head first right into the water.
Oh, they're incredible. I mean, they plummet from 30, 40 foot in the air straight down into the ocean. And as you watch them, it's almost like they dislocate their wings or they become a living dart. So when they hit the water, their skulls are especially strengthened to be able to take that impact so that when they hit the water, they go as deep as they possibly can with the force of gravity takes them.
How did you film that? Because you've got them falling out of the sky and then you see them in the water as they hit underwater. Is it one camera or two?
We had multiple cameras on this project. Above water, we used IMAX cameras. As much as we possibly could, we shot with 3D IMAX cameras, and the aerial shots are shot in 2D. So we're with the gannets in the helicopter above with an IMAX camera on the helicopter. We have a boat with a 3D IMAX camera taking the gannets as they hit the water. But then under the water, we were shooting in high definition. And we again, in 3D. It can get pretty hairy. Yeah. It's difficult. The reason we wanted to shoot in 3D is because we knew the action with the sharks and the dolphins and the gannets. We knew in 3D that was going to be stunning.
The dolphins at one point are feasting on the sardines, and it looks like the sea is boiling. And the music is matching this frenzy.
The sea is alive with predators. Unconcerned with each other, focus only upon taking the sardines from every conceivable direction. An undersea battle has begun.
Well, that's the thing. We were divers who were first and foremost musicians. So when we were working on the music, what we wanted to do was create a score that made you, well, helped you to feel the emotions that you feel when you're actually there, because it is a massive adrenaline rush to be surrounded by sharks and dolphins and in this frenzy. A massive adrenaline rush.
Do you ever feel afraid?
Yeah, you don't belong there. You're in someone else's territory. And for me, the one moment where I really felt nervous was actually in the helicopter, and we're above a shark feeding frenzy. And looking down into the water, and I just suddenly thought, if we were to ditch the helicopter now, there's no escape. Those sharks were going absolutely crazy. I mean, there was, I don't know, maybe about 60 sharks and all going absolutely crazy below me. And I'd also knew from stories that I'd heard along that coastline that whenever anyone does ditch or if there's a wreck, there are generally, no bodies are usually found.
I guess you have the highest concentration of shark species there. You've got these dolphins. You've got the people coming in from the land. This ecosystem is really extraordinary, and it all happens at this one time of year.
Yes. Well, it all happens because of the cold water that is kind of thrusting northwards from the Southern Cape is kind of hemmed in to the coastal area by the warmer water coming down from the north. So what happens is that these fish get kind of forced into these shallow waters very prematurely for them, because they wouldn't normally go into such shallow water. And that's why they're kind of trapped. And that's why so many predators are attracted to it. The thing that struck me, though, was the more I read about it and the more I learned about it, I realised that what we're calling extraordinary, what we're calling a one-off event in the natural calendar, it used to happen on a much bigger scale than we witness in South Africa. It used to happen off both East and West Coast America. And basically, we ate them all. We overfished. I think the actual scale of what we've done to the ocean is kind of hidden from view, much the same way the whole ocean's hidden from view. You know, when trawlers go out and trawl the seabed, we have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing to the seabed, what they're doing to environments where juvenile fish or eggs are laid. You know, it's like what you don't see, you don't know. I mean, if we went hunting deer by chopping down forests to root out as many deer as we possibly can and take every deer in, you know, in huge swathes of forest, there'd be an absolute uproar about it. But we don't really think about the ocean because we don't see it.
At one point in your film, the narrator asks, you know, what can we do to keep the oceans alive? You never answer that question in the film. Did you not want to be preachy?
I see what you mean. No, didn't want to be preachy. You know, that's just not the. It's not the way I would. I'd like to go about it. I don't preach in, you know, in my personal life. You know, I really think that if people walk away and ask questions, I think that's a bit better than hitting them over the head with a, you know, list of things that they must go and do. But, you know, there are so many things we can do, and there are so many things we can be positive about when it comes to the ocean. For me, the point of the movie was, look, over 100 years ago, this kind of thing used to happen on a much bigger scale all over the world. Now think about that. If people walk out thinking, wow, that's an incredible experience, and I can't believe that it used to happen just off the coast where I live, if they can come away with that message, then that's a start.
Steve McNicholas, I want to thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Steve McNicholas is the co-director of the new IMAX 3D movie, Wild Ocean. For more information, go to our website, loe.org.